Shall we begin again?
All right, praise the Lord. Let's start with that one, 151. But when I surrender, 186. Let's stand.
Let's stand for prayer. Amen. Brother Scott Pawelka, would you ask the blessing on the service this evening?
Father, again, we're so thankful for you.
All right, we are going to take a few minutes for some testimonies. I trust that we have some. I know we have one. But Let us take a few minutes and just magnify the Lord for what he hath done. Take your liberty.
I've got to start off, I guess. I have some news about my son that, good news mostly, you know, and I wanted to share, especially with a lot of the Colorado folks that are here, because I know you love him. And I hope you'll continue to pray for him. Reach out to him. But some of you know, in the second semester, when he was at Mines, second semester, he got a new roommate. And he'd known this kid for 9 days. And he took his life in their dorm room. So that's a pretty traumatic event for my son. And sometimes when things happen like that out of the blue, you can blame God, blame yourself. You know, you think, what could I have done different? What did I not see? What did I do wrong? And he dealt with that for a long time. So this boy's name was Matthew, and Matthew was set to graduate last May. If he had continued, he would have been in that graduating class. So Matthew's mother and father were getting divorced at the time that he did this. Matthew had a lot of problems Jeffrey didn't know about. And so Matthew's mother got a hold of my son and wanted to get some closure, I guess. She didn't really get any details, and she wanted all of them. So Jeffrey sat her down and told her what everything that had happened over those 9 days, anyway, what he knew, even finding him in the dorm room. And what I didn't know before this happened was that he had talked to Matthew. Matthew was in a lot of pain. Jeffrey didn't exactly know why, but he was in a lot of pain, and he had showed Jeffrey that his hip, and it was gangrenous. And Jeffrey told him then, we need to go to the hospital now. And he's like, no, I've been to the hospital. I've had some surgeries. I got some antibiotics. I'm going to be fine, which was a lie. So this young man had been run over when he was 9 years old, and he'd had 19 surgeries leading up to this point. And they had already told him they wanted to take his leg, and he had told him no, he didn't want to. So they gave him antibiotics, and they were going to give it one last shot. Well, that was the last shot. So this kid knew that if he went back to the hospital, he was not coming out with both legs, and he wasn't having it. His parents were getting divorced. You know, there was a bunch of things, but mostly it was his pain that he dealt with for 10 years, and he knew it wasn't getting any better, and he didn't. The boy was saved. We do know that he was saved, which is great. Because the Sunday before, the kid did this on a Monday. So the Sunday before, Jeffrey had taken him to Living Waters. And Jesse had asked the boy about it. He said, yes, he was saved. He actually had a Pentecostal background, and he was definitely saved. So thank God that we know that. But, you know, speaking with the mother, I think, gave him some closure that a lot of things going on that he didn't know. There was no way he could have known all the stuff that was going on with this kid. And Jeffrey just kept thinking, why would God bring this kid into my life for 9 days? Why? But Matthew's mother was really great to Jeffrey, and she was very appreciative that Jeffrey was his friend for those last days, that he was with somebody who really did care about him. And I think in some ways it brings him some healing. So the thing that bothers me still, though, is he's still not come back to church. So I covet your prayers for him. I'd be so happy the day that he'll go back, you know, to have a meeting so close by, people who love him and the truth. And I hope he works through the rest of whatever it is that he needs to. He's young, you know, he's probably following in my footsteps, the poor guy, you know, out there trying to see what good things the world has. And I hope he figures it out pretty quick, because I don't think we got a lot of time left. So, sure would like to see him come back. So if you keep praying for him and reach out to him if you can, I appreciate it. But I wanted to give you that bit of good news that he did get a little healing. And it was a good thing that the mother and him met. And I think it really did help him a lot to make strides. So I wanted to give praise for that.
I just want to stand and thank the Lord. My daughter back there is such a blessing to us. We've been trying to have kids for 5 or so years, and throughout it all, the Lord took us on a journey. When I was younger, I had gotten kicked, and my body wasn't normal. So I didn't know this, but for about a year, working construction, I didn't have my energy. My body wouldn't heal. I was sleeping maybe 2 or 3 hours a night. And I'd have night terrors of suicide every night for 6 months. And throughout that, I remember the Lord waking me up. And I was thinking about it, thinking about the dream that I had. I've had friends take their lives. And he brought me to my Bible. And I can't remember the verse right off the top of my head, but it's about the Lord and giving his children, and they're a blessing, and something along the lines of a man with many of them is like a man with a quiver of arrows. And I remember that, and he told me in that moment, be still and know that I'm God, and that he was going to give us a child. 6 months later, still going through that, I found out that my body was not, it wasn't normal. My hormones were completely off. At that time, my spine was deteriorating. I've had back surgery in 2017, once before, and the vertebrae at that time ruptured into my sciatic nerve. The vertebrae above that had herniated the opposite way. And the doctors had told me that I had scoliosis of the spine. And it got to a point where I couldn't walk anymore. I was walking with a cane. And I ended up walking away from my job because I just couldn't do it anymore. And I was so angry with everything. I mean, I don't know, I'm gonna be real. I've thrown my Bible across the room angry, because it's like, Lord, why? Why is this happening to me? You know, our marriage was having a hard time because we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. But he told me to be still. Fast forward, Leanne and I, we went and got her checked out. and we had to go through IVF. And through that process, it was doctors not being very nice. It's more of a business. They don't really have, you know, any compassion as far as, you know, when we went in there. And I remember Leanne having, you know, broken down after we went, and we were supposed to get good news from these people. They told us that her body was, she didn't have enough time, basically. So we prayed, and they put her on a medicine, and for a few months after that, we went back in, and they had told her that the medicine worked too well, that the process would cause triplets, and that the high risk of her coming out, you know, not okay was really high. So they told us to sustain, you know. And I remember that day, I remember talking to Leanne. I said, no, if the Lord wants us to have triplets, we'll have triplets. If that's what he wants. If he wants us to have twins, we'll have twins. If he doesn't want us to have anything, then we won't. And you've all seen such a beautiful blessing that she is. I mean, the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he has totally brought that to fruition. And it's amazing. I just want to stand and thank the Lord for all that he's done and all that he is continuing to do in our lives, and thank him for having the grace and the mercy on us when we do not believe. You know, he abides faithful. Yes. And she's living proof.
They can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
And there are people streaming that need to hear.
I know.
It.
Well, I just want to stand and thank the Lord for so many things that he was just talking about. The messages today have been along the lines of everything that the Lord is doing, his faithfulness. But two testimonies, one, neither of which are really my testimony, but my daughter will not get up here and testify, I'm assuming. So 3 weeks ago, she was diagnosed with sepsis, and I was scared. And she was really sick, and I knew how sick she was. And the Lord came in, because you know you don't just get out of the hospital in a week with sepsis. He came in mightily. We laid hands on her, we prayed for her, and Carrie's got a lot of anomalies that go on in her body, and I'm always playing a guessing game with her because I don't know what's wrong with her, but the Lord is so good to encourage me to be alert when I need to be alert at her issues that she has in her body. And I'm so grateful for that. She's not my legal daughter, but she's my daughter. Her mom has gone home to be with the Lord. She was one of my patients in my home. And the Lord has just given us a real love for her as our own. And my daughter, Isabel, that most of you guys know, she thinks of her as her sister. She calls her sister. She talks about her sister all the time. So it's just been a blessing to have her in our home. And the other testimony that I have is the testimony of my sister, and I shared a little bit of this with the ladies at the retreat, but many of you guys know my sister, Raydeen Hedrick. My brother was Ken Geese, and she's just, for years and years, 20 plus years, wanted nothing to do with the Lord, wanted nothing to do with our church, didn't like our church, did everything in her power to turn my children from the church. Just was in a really bad place. And the reason I give you that preface is because God's faithfulness, when you think that it's impossible that my sister would be walking with the Lord again and running this race, and I'd be having fellowship with her via text and on the phone and over the times that she comes to church and over meals and be close to her again, is just a miracle of God's grace and his faithfulness in our lives. And she texted me last week after the message that Brother Jesse had given about some stuff that was going on in his life and how different things had been said about him. And my sister texted me and she said, "Oh, my sis, that was me. I was the one who was saying things about Jesse, and I was the one who was turning people away from the church. I was an enemy of the cross." She basically admitted, "I was an enemy of the cross." And she says, "And now I'm running the race." She says, "I'm running to win." And I can't just testify enough about it. I wish she could be here, but she's in poor health, so she probably will never be able to come out unless God just really intervenes, which I know he can do that. But I'm so thankful to see what the Lord is doing with her. And Sister Moots was such a blessing. At the ladies' retreat, I had testified about my sister and how she needed a car so bad because she wanted to be in church so bad. Well, Sister Moots gave her a car, and I came out to get it, and I drove by myself all the way to Pueblo, got lost, everything, really lost, in no man's land of Kansas, where no gas stations open at 6 o'clock and no phone service because my phone was dying, and I was trusting God to get me to Pueblo, but he got me there about 10:30 that night, and it was a horrible trip. I've never had such a worse time in my life. The enemy was fighting it, man. But I got that car to her, and 3 weeks later, she came to our church camp, and her husband came to the church camp, and he got filled with Holy Spirit. And I ask you to pray for him, because he doesn't know anything about the Lord. But when that happened, I told Sister Moots that this morning, and then she's been coming to church as much as she can, but of late, the Lord's been using her. She's got a really dear friend who's dying of bone cancer, and her friend, she's been going to her house and live streaming the messages to her friend because she's dying and she can't get out of the house, and my sister felt the need. So without that car, he wouldn't have gotten filled. She wouldn't be able to minister to somebody else, which is a miracle just that my sister's doing that. And also the apology that she gave me for the things that she did with my kids was remarkable. And those of you who know me, probably some of you know some of the things that had happened and the sorrow and the heartache that I've gone through with my children. But she went to my eldest son and she told him, "I was wrong. And I've apologized to your mom and she's forgiven me, but I was wrong. The things I said to you, the way I treated your mom and the way I talked about her to you was wrong, and I need your forgiveness." So these are just huge hurdles that God has done, all because he allowed us to forgive one another. You know, it started with forgiveness. About 5 years ago, I started praying, "Lord, help me to forgive my sister because I didn't like her. I didn't like her. I didn't want to be around her. And what she'd done with my children had destroyed me. But God showed me I needed to ask for forgiveness and I needed to forgive her." And so I just see how the Lord is using all this in our realm of life and what he's doing in our family, which she's my only family I've left. And I just thank you for your prayers. I thank Sister Moots. I know she's not here anymore, for being so gracious to give her that car. Just gave it to her, doesn't know her, just wanted to give her something that could bless her. And now she's able to bless other people. And just continue to hold her up in prayer, if you will. She's in poor health, and her husband is in poor health, but their Lord's just doing a mighty work in their hearts. So just thank the Lord for that.
Okay. I'm Isaac's wife and Ray and Shirley's daughter-in-law. And I just want to say a couple things. First of all, I want to thank the Lord for what I always referred to as Isaac and I's love story, but as I've grown, I realize that it's my love story with Jesus. And I grew up in a really small town. And the Lord, when I graduated from college, he kept giving me a dream to go to Colorado. Well, not to go to Colorado, but of meeting a man, and all I could see was his smile. And it was in a coffee shop, and it was a recurring dream. And one day, the Lord put it on my heart to go to Colorado, and I feel like a Rebecca because I knew nobody. I mean, I knew nobody. And I remember telling my mom at the time, "I'm gonna buy a plane ticket." It was Martin Luther King Day, 2012. I'm going to Colorado. And she said, "What?" And I said, "I'm going to go to Colorado and I'm going to stay in this motel," which turns out it was in a very bad area in Colorado. But it was cheap. And so I went, not knowing anyone. And the Lord said, "Will you go?" And I didn't know that he was going to unfold his promises to me here, meeting Isaac and his family and that higher calling. I'm just so thankful to be called to that. It is so special, and to have a heart that desires it. You know, there are a lot of people that come in and out of these meetings and they hear Paul's gospel and they think we're crazy. But God gave each of us a heart to not just accept it, but to fall in love with it. And that's me. And I think about it and I'm like, thank you so much, Lord, thank you. You know, I'm so undeserving. But no, I'm not. I'm not. I'm his bride. And so anyways, to finish the story, I got on the train in Colorado, in Denver, and sat across from Isaac. And that was the beginning of our natural love story. And the second thing I wanted to share, it's really kind of funny. I had a sweet sister in the Lord. She was our support person during Maria's birth, and I passed out. I guess I have low sugar at that time. I guess my body was in overdrive. And I passed out, and they lost the baby, and they lost her heartbeat. And it was really scary, and I went into a Jesus coma. I mean, 100%, I just went. You know, when you have those experiences and you just go in to that intimate place, and it was just Jesus, Jesus. I couldn't think of anything else. They were talking to me. They were saying, "We're going to have to do this to her." They were having him sign consent papers. And the sweet sister in the Lord and Isaac started praying over me, and they started speaking in tongue. And after they got the baby's heartbeat back and all that, praise the Lord, I was able to have her naturally. But the nurse, our support person, was at the ICE station. She told me this. She called me the next day, and she said, the nurse came up to me, and she goes, "Where are you from?" And she said, I was so tired because, you know, this was, I mean, I think we were at like hour 32 probably. It was a long time. And she goes, "I'm from here, from Colorado." And she goes, "No, where are you from?" And she was like, "I'm from Colorado." And then the nurse got called. So she woke up the next day after we had had Maria, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, she thinks I'm from like a different country because I was speaking in tongue." And so then she goes, "I wish I would have known, because I would have been like, I'm from heaven. I am from heaven." So just praise the Lord. And his grace is written all over our family's lives. I mean, so many things, answers to prayer over the last couple of years. And I know there are seasons, and our family went through a really rainy, hard season for a while. And there was a lot of need. And God, in the last year and a half, has just poured out. I mean, he has us on the hilltop, and I'm thankful for that. And I know that the lows are going to come again, but it's all for his glory. So thank you Jesus.
I got the butterflies going in the tummy. I'm gonna kind of finish Kevin's story today. He didn't really go into a lot of detail. It was a pretty dark period of our lives. Not only was he not sleeping, but he lost his mind. He had great anxiety and depression, and it wasn't like Kevin. And we would pray every morning and believe God. And I found this song that Kevin was talking about. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It's called "Even If." And the words became so, they were almost, I don't even know what to say. We just would sing this song together every morning and cry out to God that it's saying, so it's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. They say it takes only a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. You've been faithful, you've been good all my days, Jesus. I will cling to you, come what may, because I know you're able. I know you can. I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow, I know the hurt would all go away if you would just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And we would sing that song and think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fire, saying to the king, but even if he doesn't, we are still not going to bow down to you. We are still going to pray and believe God. And that was what we were doing. We were believing God, even though things were completely crazy at our house. I mean, completely crazy. Kevin has always done the bills. He looked at them and it was like he didn't even know what to do with them. And I was scared. I saw that my husband was losing his mind. And there was nothing I could do, not a thing I could do, naturally speaking, to help him. But pray and believe God and get on my knees and pray some more and try to encourage his heart. And he would go to doctor after doctor after doctor, and they were just like, well, here, let's try this pill. Let's try this pill. And this pill would make him cuckoo, crazy cuckoo. And I'm like, no, you've got to get off of that pill. And then he'd tell the doctor, and they'd say, well, yeah, sometimes it'll do that. And it's like, well, it did it to him, all right. Every weird effect. I mean, if you give Kevin something to put you to sleep, it makes him wire, you know. And if you give him something to wire him up, it would put him to sleep. So he's not the normal patient. And I finally said to Kevin, I said, no pills are going to work. No pills are going to work. God doesn't want to use pills. He wants to get the glory for this. He's not going to allow the pill manufacturers to get any glory in this. It's going to be him and him alone. And slowly but surely, we got weaned off those pills, and the Lord has come in every day, more and more, and I got my Kevy back, and his sense of humor, and all of the things that were missing. And it was gone. I mean, I can't even tell you what a dark hole it was in. But we were studying Spurgeon. And I don't know if you guys know how depressed Spurgeon used to be. He used to go through great bouts of depression. And they didn't have pills back then to give him. He had to trust the Lord totally. And you think about the sermons that Spurgeon had. Well, would he have had those kind of sermons had he not gone through that kind of depression, those dark, dark valleys? I don't think so. And that's how Kevin has come out, and we have come out so much better for having been there with God. So then everything's kind of looking up that way, and I go in and have cataract surgery, and I go in a week later to have my eye checked, and he's having me read the chart, and he says, tell me what you see. And I said, well, I think that's an E, but it's kind of wavy. And he said, it's wavy? And I said, it's wavy. He says, okay, hold on a minute. So all of a sudden they're starting to do all these things, and he goes, you got macular degeneration wet. And my dad had macular degeneration dry, I think. And for those of you who don't know, you lose sight in the very center of your vision, so you can only see peripherally. And I'm a hairdresser, I need my vision. We all need our vision. And I just went home and I said, Lord, I'm casting this on you. I don't have any other choice here. I'm just gonna trust you with this and believe you for it. And if they have something to help my eyes, praise God, but it's gonna be you that's gonna make the medicine work. It's not gonna be the medicine by itself. It's not gonna be the doctor, it'll be you. And on my refrigerator at that time, I used to have all these pictures of the saints and different little cards and sayings and scriptures. And the next morning I got up and I was getting in the fridge, and right there at eye level was a scripture, and on the other side, which is the side that I was looking at, said, even, let me think if I can remember now, even when I can't see, that's not quite right, I will still trust in you. And I'd seen that a million times. Every morning I looked at that and never hit me. But that day it was like the Lord just, you know, shot a thing at it and light, and it was like, read this. And it was like, you're right, Lord. I will trust you no matter what you do. If you take my eyesight, I will trust you. If you restore it, I will trust you. I just want to believe you for everything and anything that goes on in my life. And so right now, I can see every day. I go in every month to get eye shots, and I ask them, how's it looking? And they say, you're stable. And I said, that's good enough. So, you know, we're not promised anything. I mean, I made a mistake the other day and dropped a big old metal sheet on my foot, and 9 stitches later, and, you know, I couldn't work for a day or two, and it's like, I'm always doing stuff like that. And the Lord allows those things, you know? And it's like, every day we got to trust him, because we have no idea what's coming. Just like yesterday when this lady almost hit us head on. We were like, oh my gosh, you know, but Jesus. So anyway, just want to encourage you, as I've been encouraged this week, and it's been so lovely to see you all again. You're just family to us, and we love you and we thank you for your hospitality.
Well, I want to praise the Lord. So I've been listening to these testimonies, you know, what I'm hearing is, you know, God's promises are yay and amen. And, you know, as he gives us these promises, there's things that we go through, and it seems like sometimes he takes us to the very bottom, to the pit, again, as she said, for his glory to be seen in this. Back at the Carbondale Fellowship meeting, I gave a testimony. The Lord had given me a little study, and I'd been struggling with my business and the shop that I have, because I need to work, you know, detail cars and whatever to be able to afford my bills, but I also need to have time to work on my shop so I can get it fixed up and move in and live there. And this particular evening, he gave me a message, and I don't remember the exact verse, but in there it mentioned work. And as I read that, he said, whatever work you're doing, I will take care of it. Whether you're detailing cars, or whether you're working on the shop, or you've got some other work I've got for you, I will take care of you. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. And because I knew, you know, I needed more work to be able to pay the bills. Well, he actually got me to a point, he drained my savings account. I hit one point where I was ready to even, I've got a jar, plastic change jar about this big, about a third full. I was ready to dump it out, had it sorted out, ready to take it to the bank. And I got a message from somebody about a piece of furniture that I was trying to sell, and it was enough to take care of my bill that month. And he's done this over the last couple of months. But it's amazing how he'll take us down into the lowest pit, and where, like she said, it looks like there's no possible way that we're going to be able to continue in this. There's no way that I'm going to be able to go forward with my business or with this building or whatever. And all of a sudden he's like, nope, I've got another way for you over here. And even, you know, I remember Wednesday night I was struggling, Wednesday during the day actually, with some stuff that's been going on. And I found myself praying on the way to church, and I said, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand this at all, but I know what you're doing is right. I know you're righteous and you make the right decisions for my life. And I've been asked to lead the song services on Wednesday night at church. Well, I don't even know all the words to all the songs I, you know, by memory or anything, but I was going through, and a song in the night He gave us these songs in the night. Came, was in front of me. I'm like, that, I got to pick that one tonight. And I get up and we start singing. And I start reading the words as we're singing. And I'm like, all that he doeth is right, or something along those lines. I was like, thank you, Lord. You know, just again, confirmation. He's there with us. He's not leaving us, no matter what situation it is. And, you know, I'm listening to some of these testimonies like, man, these are bad things. But you know what? It's different for each person as we go through it. What I'm going through might be terrible for somebody else. But, you know, for me, it's hard. But it's appointed for me. Just like each one of you has your appointments that he is taking you through in your life to prepare you for that bridal calling, you know, for the upward calling of the bride. And so I just thank the Lord that, you know, no matter what, he is working in us, and he will give us that heart that we can trust him 100%. And he's faithful to prove himself and to make sure that through our lives he will be glorified.
We do have one more testimony. Sister Brenda, you've been trying to get up from the beginning. And she is very kind. She is very sweet. She's very yielding. But she has something to say.
I just want to give glory to the Lord. Tim and I, a year ago, had every intention of coming here to Labor Day. And I was told that I had a third recurrence of cancer in my liver. Mm-hmm. And the treatment that I was on at that time made it very difficult. There were so many things I didn't understand, like you were saying, I didn't understand, but I knew you just confirmed what's been going through my spirit, that he is able. Yes. And he, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said he is able to deliver from that fiery furnace. And that, what's your fiery furnace, you know? Is it cancer, your children, your job, your whatever? He's made a whole lot of promises to us in his word that he is able to deliver. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. He is able. His grace is immense. And at the time, I remember feeling so terrible that Tim would have to get drugged through this again. But I know that God's grace is manifold. I know that he's doing something in Tim and our kids. And I had a coworker ask me, how are you able to be so positive? And I said, it's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the one that's able. We're not. We're nothing apart from him. We opted for a procedure where it was internal radiation. It hadn't been done very many times by this radiologist, but he felt that it was going to have a good outcome, and it was better than another surgery, resection. And I remember feeling so blessed. I was medicated, but they had to have the pharmaceutical rep there because of the amount of this radiation is very intense. And the pharmaceutical rep, I remember him saying, wow, steady hands. And I said, thank you, God. You chose the right radiologist for me. So anyway, glory to God. I feel so much better. God is faithful. He is able.
Praise the Lord. We will have CDs available from the meetings here. We'll also be putting them online, but if you want to order them, if there's a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer, so just put down your name and address and what you would desire, and we will get them as quickly as we can. In the morning, we'll have our regular services. Sunday school will be at 10 o'clock. Sister Penny will be bringing her message. And then the worship service at 11. After that will be lunch, and that marks the end of the fellowship meeting here. And we have just been so delighted to have people with us. It has been a tremendous blessing, I believe, an encouragement, which is what we need. We prayed for. God has indeed been wonderful to us, and we rejoice. We hoped that he would just take us on up, and we're not done yet. We may get there yet, so we'll just believe God. All right, right now we have another special song, have a group song that they put together. Yeah.
Strong.